On Monday, we began our one-way story theme in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve. And we felt how evil and sin make us quiver in fear. Today we turn one chapter in the book of Genesis to the narrative that we've just heard. Story that is so perplexing. The Bible's first word. We know so little about it, but we know that it ends with tremendous fear. God pronounced the judgment on Cain. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And then we get the part of the story that we'll especially focus on today. Cain is deeply afraid. Cain, the runaway, has to face life in a world filled with runaways, and he is filled with great fear. Sin works in a way. The evil we commit leads us to deep fear of living with other people who might do the very same thing to us. But then right at that moment of fear, there is a moment of profound and mysterious grace. Genesis 4, verse 16. The Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one came upon him would kill him. For the rest of his life, Cain, the Bible's first murderer, lived with a mark. This is only a partial comparison, to be sure, but this mark on Cain reminded me this week of another mark that's gotten a lot of attention lately. It's the mark on Harry Potter. Harry Potter's lightning bolt mark makes his identity clear. This pulsing mark is a sign of Voldemort's murderous intentions toward him, but also in some mysterious way, of Harry's mother's life-sacrificing spell that protects him. That mark for Harry is a mark of identity. It takes 7 volumes to unpack this mark and all that it means. And you can buy really cool little keychains, by the way, with that mark right on the internet for about $1.49. Today is Ash Wednesday. Today is Ash Wednesday, which is a day of marks. In just a minute, we're going to invite you forward to receive ash on your hand or your forehead. Ash is a sign of dust, and it tells the truth about one aspect of us. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. We will all deal with death just as surely as Harry dealt with conflict. And just as surely as Cain dealt with his fear. Like Cain, we all live in a world of runaways, and we are afraid too, if we're honest. And there's something truth-telling about that little mark of ash that will soon be placed on us. But Ash Wednesday, way back to the early church, was never just about ash. Back in the early church, Ash Wednesday was actually the church's first look ahead to Easter Day. In the early church, Easter was baptism day. Lent was a kind of baptism boot camp. And Ash Wednesday was a kind of baptism recruitment day. Ash Wednesday, these ashes, remind us of just how much our parched souls long for the waters of baptism. That was the logic in the early church. The ashes of Ash Wednesday lead us to long for the waters of Easter baptism. And that is a mark to remember. Some years later, about 1,000 years after Ash Wednesday got started, John Calvin came along. And Calvin was no fan of Ash Wednesday. At this point in history, Ash Wednesday had become so superstitious that it was not spiritually or pastorally helpful, and Calvin dismissed it. But it would be very wrong to think of Calvin as a person who did not appreciate monks and signs. Calvin was a man who loved marks and signs and seals, especially the sign and seal that ultimately way back Ash Wednesday pointed toward. Here are some of the things Calvin said about the sign of baptism. You'll find them written in materials that you can take with you as well. See, for Calvin, baptism was not just about washing away sin. It was about also our fundamental identity, how we will live, about the grace under which we live each day. Intro theology class would say for Calvin, baptism was not just about justification, but sanctification. Here are Calvin's words. The great truth of our spiritual regeneration, though what once represented to us in baptism, should remain fixed in our minds through our whole life. Now, whenever there is even mention of baptism, let us remember we are baptized under this condition and for this end, to fix the cross to our soldiers. As often as we fall away, we ought to recall the memory of our baptism and fortify our mind with it, that we may be sure and confident of the forgiveness of sins. All of it is, in Calvin's mind, a way of echoing what we read in the book of Romans. We have been buried with Christ by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Really let your soul sink into these words. It ultimately makes the mark of baptism make that little Harry Potter lightning bolt, by contrast, a rather limp piece of fiction. Ultimately, the promise of God that comes to us in baptism, by which we are given an Easter identity, is so much deeper. Today, on this Ash Wednesday, we do remember our mortality. It is part of the truth we tell. And none of us knows what this Lent will bring us. We can hardly take in our own souls the breathtaking power of leukemia, or septic shock, or global warming, or poverty, or a tornado that rips up the campus of a sister school in Tennessee last night. All of us, I think if we're honest, would realize that maybe we live in about as much fear as Cain had of living in a world filled with 6.5 billion runaways, of which we're one. But today, what we do on Ash Wednesday is we proclaim truth in things and signs that are as palpable as ash and water. So in just a minute, we're going to invite you forward to receive on your hand or your forehead that mark of ash. When you feel that on your skin, feel your heart and soul set toward Easter. And then today, different from other years at Calvin, this Ash Wednesday, after you receive that ash, we'll have a little bowl of water. Take your hand in that water. Take that water to your forehead in the same sign of the cross. And remember that your identity is an identity of being buried with Christ and raised with Christ. It is an identity that is deeper than any lightning bolt. It is deeper than even the mark that Cain lived with, a mark ultimately of protection. And it is a mark that reminds us that absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God.